Welcome, radio friends, to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus. And I would like to come to you with a special appeal. We are looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month to this ministry. God has blessed us over the years and has been faithful in providing for our airtime. But now we are coming to our listening audience and asking you to be a part of it. We would like for you to make a one-year commitment of $25 a month. If we could get 100 people, that would take care of the broadcast charges each month. Now, with that commitment, we also have a book that I want to share with you. The title of the book is one that I wrote. It's called 50 Ways to Resist the Devil, and it deals with spiritual warfare. As we look at our life today, we see as believers, we are in constant spiritual warfare. And so this book will help you to develop strategies for dealing with Satan and all of his forces as you go out into the world. 50 Ways to Resist the Devil will be yours if you will commit to be a part of this ministry. We are calling those who commit to give $25 a month anchored partners. And so we want to invite you to be an anchored partner. Now, let me say this. As we have put this ministry together over the years, we have done it all with volunteer support. Those who handle the requests are volunteers. Those who prepare the programs are volunteers. And any funds that we receive, 100% of it goes to airtime. So you can be assured that your money will go to support the ongoing work here at the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry, and it will go to the airtime. So again, why don't you join us in becoming a anchored partner in giving $25 a month? There's a couple ways that you can do this. You can go to PayPal on our website, and that is www.anchoredinjesus.org, or you can make a checkout and send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can call the toll-free number and find out how you can become a monthly supporter of this ministry. The number is 877-831-5060. So we ask that you would be prayerful about how God would have you participate in this ministry. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude part one of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part one of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving.
Now, Edom was getting blessed. And verse 12 says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth to him because of the ark of God. This brother was getting blessed. You know, I heard one preacher say that, you know, David would look out of his window and he'd say, man, Obed-Edom done got new windows in this house. Look out. Man, Obed-Edom done got a new chariot. Looked out. Obed-Edom, look at them clothes that Obed-Edom's kids are wearing. Man, look at that, man. God is blessing Obed-Edom. And then one day, Obed-Edom came outside of his house, and he was saying, I just want to thank you forever and ever and ever for all. Obed-Edom had that song down. Obed-Edom was being blessed, brother. And David said, look, let me get this ark back up here in Jerusalem. And so David went down, the scripture says, so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. And it was that when they who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling, and David danced
before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. With shouting. Yeah. Yeah. The ark is back in Jerusalem. The blessings are coming back to Jerusalem. I'm going to get me some new windows. I'm going to get me a new chariot. I'm going to get me a new crown. Yeah, the ark. The ark. The ark is back. Well, what did the psalmist say? The same word that's used there. The psalmist said, shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Shout unto him. And so this invitation is unrestricted. It goes out to everyone to come and shout out to God. The second thing we see is that not only is it an unrestricted invitation, but I like this right here. It's an unexplainable sensation. An unexplainable sensation. He says here, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This word gladness, look at the notes. You got to read this with me now. Look at the notes. The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. The word gladness comes from the Hebrew word simah and refers, listen to this, listen to this. Refers to being joyful with the whole being, which includes the heart, Psalm 105:3, the soul, Psalm 86:4, and the facial countenance, Proverbs 14:13. Man, gladness. A gladness that's in your soul and it shows up on your face. Some of y'all didn't come in here with that gladness this morning. Yeah, some of y'all came in like, I was wondering if somebody was sticking you up coming in here. You know? You walking in, man, sad and forlorn and discouraged. He said here, you know, that come before the Lord. That when you come before the Lord, come before him with gladness. Don't come up in here, sad. You might be sad when you come in, but somewhere a gladness ought to get up in your spirit, ought to get up in your heart. Nehemiah, when he was saddened in his heart about the walls of Jerusalem that they were torn down, Nehemiah said, man, I got to go before the king and ask him to help us to go back and build these walls. He said, but you know what? I better get my face straight before I go in there. I can't go before the king looking like this. I can't go before the king with a sad countenance. Now, if a man can be convicted in his heart that much about coming before another man, how much should God's people be convicted about coming before him without gladness in your heart? Without gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The birds. Man, you know, yesterday I went outside to get something out of my car. Yesterday afternoon, I heard birds singing. I said, look, man, it's getting ready to be wintertime around here. What are these birds doing? Chirping like that. The birds be singing. All of God's creation sings. Cole Porter said it like this. Birds do it. Bees do it. Even educated fleas do it. Let's do it. Let's praise the Lord. Now, he didn't say it like that. Now, Cole Porter had some other words in there, but once again, y'all know from last week that I like to write my own songs. So you know, we are to praise him. We are to come to his presence with singing in the heart, in the soul. And you know, when it gets in the heart and the soul, according to Proverbs 15 and verse 30, it's supposed to light up on your face. The joy of the Lord bubbles over in you. You know, there's a song. Brother Eric, can we play that song? I want to sing this song. I think is it 22 and the red? 22 and the red. Get a red hymnal. Get a red hymnal. We're marching to, y'all can sit down, but and some of you know this song. I want to sing the first, the second, and the fourth. We're marching to Zion. Yeah. What did the songwriter say? Who wrote that song? Who wrote that song? I closed my book up. Whoever wrote it, what did he say? Let those refuse to sing who never knew the Lord. Now, I think that he must have read this 100th Psalm, because the 100th Psalm says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Man, you have an opportunity. I'm not even going to get to this part this week. Oh, my goodness. Verse 3. I'm not even going to get to verse 3 this week. You know, well, we got, you know, we got the majesty, we got the creator, and we got the shepherd. You know, I haven't even dealt with those 3 points in verse 3. But we're talking about an unexplainable sensation that when God has saved you and God is working in your life and God is doing something for you, that there's an overwhelming feeling that comes over you that just makes you glad, that makes you want to shout. You see, that's why, you know, sometimes I'm not saying that you got to be out here acting all crazy and everything. But my point is that, you know, if you never get that feeling of, man, God is my God, that I know the Lord. And there's a feeling that you feel good about that. And I know that our faith is not built on feelings. I know that. So I'm not saying that you got to feel something to be saved. I'm just saying if you are saved at some point, you ought to feel something. There ought to be something down in your spirit that makes you happy. There ought to be something in your spirit that makes you glad. If you can go day in and day out and not get excited about what God has done and what God is doing in your life, you better go back and check your salvation. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. You know, God is not looking for sad servants. God is looking for people who are excited about serving him. Oh, I love on Friday afternoons, you know, just going over to the master's kitchen. And when I go back there and I see the ladies and some of the brothers back in there, you know what I say in there? Servants of the Most High God. Servants of the Most High God. You know, go to the ushers. Servants of the Most High God. To the choir. Servants of the Most High God. If we are servants of the Most High God, there ought to be some excitement about the fact that we are serving the highest creature, the highest being, that we have the opportunity to serve him. Oh, let me share with you something, and that is service. Look at it. And I'm going to hit this, then I'm done. Look at Luke 17. Luke 17. And I preached a message one time, and the title of the message was Service with a Smile. And under this point, we see the meaning of the sensation. We see the message of the sensation. And here in Luke 17, we see the motto of the sensation. But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him when he comes from the field, go and sit down to eat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready that I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I think not. And so you also, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, for we have done that which was our duty to do. Service. You got to serve God with a smile. This guy had been in the field all day. He had been laboring in the field. He came in from the field. Instead of him going up and getting him a glass of lemonade, the master said, oh, wait a minute, buddy. You're going to serve me first. So he had to take off his field clothes, gird himself, go prepare the meal, and then serve the master. Wait until the master had finished and was satisfied, then he could take care of himself. And you know what? He had to do it all with a smile. That's what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying, serve the Lord with gladness. See, let me share with you 4 things about this passage, then I'm done. Service with a smile, first of all, involves a surrender to selflessness. That means it can't be all about you. It's got to be about God. He said, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding will say unto him when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat? It's not about you. This is about the kingdom. This is about God. You serve me. God says, serving me. And to serve God means that, and not to have this selfish agenda means that you are serving God and not yourself. That's your motive. What's your motive for serving? See, if I'm serving because if I'm serving with my own agenda and something happens to upset me, I'm going to lose my smile. I'm going to lose my joy. But if my focus is on God and he's the one that I'm serving, he's the one that I'm trying to please, guess what? No matter what happens down here, that's not going to rob me of my joy, because there's my focus. There's the audience that I'm trying to please. See, you can't even come up in the church and bring that attitude of wanting to be the big cheese. You know, there's the illustration of that Tate family. Old man Dick Tate wants to run everything. Uncle Rotate wants to change everything. Sister Agitate wants to stir up trouble with help from her husband Irritate. When new projects are suggested, Hesitate and his wife Vegetate want to wait until next year. On Imitate wants our church to be like the others. Devastate provides the voice of doom. Potentate wants to be the big shot. Oh, don't forget cousin Amputate, who got offended and cut himself off from the rest of the family. See, when this thing is about you, when it's about you, you're not going to smile. When you don't get your way, then you get upset and you want to quit. But if I'm serving God and the joy of the Lord is in my heart because I'm serving God, then I'm not going to get upset, because you can't take that joy. As that songwriter said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Service with a smile involves a surrender to selflessness. Look at this. It involves a toleration for toil. And that's doing one thing after the next, 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 and still having that joy in your heart. You know, sometimes you will do one thing after another, but God says, do it with that joy in your heart. That when you come to this meeting, come with joy. I'm serving the King. I'm serving God. When I come on Sunday morning to minister, I'm serving God. When I come on Sunday morning to worship, I came up in here. To serve the Lord with gladness. I like. look at Genesis real quick. Keep a finger right there in Luke. But look at Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. And we all know the story, how that Laban promised Jacob that he could have Rachel. And he pulled the old switcheroo on him at the last minute. And he gave him Leah. And so he told him that, well, if you want to marry Rachel, he says that you got to serve me another 7 years. And look at chapter 29 and verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had for her. Wow. 7 years. He had already served. He was already serving to receive Rachel as his wife. But Laban tricked him. And he said, well, if you want Rachel, you got to serve another 7 years. And the scripture says here that they seemed like a few days because he loved her. Some people to be here this morning, you say, when is Pastor Glaze going to be done? I'll be done in a little bit. When is this man going to be done? But you know what? Now, I'm not trying to be judgmental. But if you love the Lord, if you love the Lord, It said here, he loved Rachel. He loved her. And to go out there every day and to work and to labor and to work and to labor, it didn't bother him. Why? Because he had love in his heart. And somebody said like this, that the 7 years that Jacob served, that he wrote a song after that. You know what the song was that he wrote? It was something like this. I ain't got time to discuss the weather or how long it's going to last. And I ain't got time to do no studying when I get out of class. And I ain't got the time to think about what makes the flower grow. And I never give it a second thought to where the rivers flow. Why? Because I'm too busy thinking about my baby and I ain't got time for nothing else. Oh, the Temptations didn't coin that one. That was Jacob. Too busy. See, when you're too busy thinking about God, when God is the Lord of your life, and when your focus is on him and that joy is in your heart, oh man, it's a joy to be able to come and serve the Lord. The third thing about a service with a smile, it involves a uniqueness to be unappreciated. And this is right there in your notes if you want them. A uniqueness to be unappreciated. He says here in verse 9, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Not. See, you know, sometimes when you serve, there's not going to be any thanks. There's not going to be any appreciation. But you know, if you're looking for appreciation from man, then you're going to be disappointed. But if you're looking for it from God, if you're looking for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, there was one time I was feeling a little unappreciated in my home. And my washing machine broke down. I said, well, look, I'm not going to fix it. Yeah, I'll teach them a lesson. They'll be thankful that I go to work, that I pay electricity, that I buy the water, that I pay for the, let it stay broke. They're going to learn the lesson. And after 3 days on my way to the laundromat, I said, I guess I really showed them. Huh? See, you got to have a uniqueness to be unappreciated. You know, when nobody will say thank you, nobody will appreciate you. You know, you got to realize that I'm not in it for that. Amen. I'm in this thing because you know what? If you're waiting for appreciation sometime, your joy will leave. Your joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. That gladness will go real quick. And finally, the service with a smile, you know, involves a declaration of duty. He says, verse 10, so ye also, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants because we have just done that which was our duty. We just did what we were asked to do. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited that God would count me worthy to be one of his, as the elders would say, chillins. I'm just excited that God has called me to serve him. Oh, I thought I was going to get a little further along than this today, but an unrestricted invitation and an unexplainable sensation that when you serve, that service should be with joy and with a smile.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part 2 of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, part 1 of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 1 of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 1 of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, please visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.